This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily. Before we introduce today's special guest priest, we'd like to pray for you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Sons of Melchizedek. I'm Kent Blanford. In most of our episodes of The Sons of Melchizedek, we'll be talking to priests and other vowed religious about their life of service to the church and to others. But today, I want to go behind the scenes and explore the process that brings men and women from all walks of life into the religious life. To that end, I'll start by sharing from a video that can be found on the website of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis under the Vocations heading. This is How to Discern Your Vocation by Father Chase Hilgenbrink of the Diocese of Peoria, Illinois.
My name is Father Chase Hilgenbrink. I'm a Catholic priest in the Diocese of Peoria in Illinois. I'm a chaplain at St. John's Catholic Newman Center on the campus of the University of Illinois. And today we're talking about how to discern your vocation. You know, there's so many multifaceted ways in which we can discern a vocation. So many things that we can consider. So many questions that we need to answer. But you know, I should start off just by saying that there's no cookie cutter way. There's no magic bullet. There's no magic way or ultimate thing that anybody can tell you that will allow you to know exactly what your vocation is. Vocations are sought out in faith. And so the greatest thing that anybody can do and the only way to truly know your vocation is to sit in the presence of God. It is to sit in the presence of Jesus Christ. Vocation, remember, means to call. We have to hear that calling, perceive semblances of our Lord's mission for our life. Oftentimes, it's good to have a spiritual director, then somebody who can help to guide that. That's the reason we make these videos. These videos are made to help to give you a new perspective, or perhaps just repeat a perspective that you've heard before and maybe you've forgotten, to dig deeper into that perspective, to remember the urgency of knowing our vocation, not hastily, not jumping into something without good and sound discernment. And that's what it takes. But you know what? A vocation that is discerned well, a vocation in which we recognize the mission and we ask the right questions, we gain perspective, there's a certain urgency to it. Why? Because not because someone's forcing me to do it. There's an urgency because there's something in my heart, deep down in my heart, from the foundations of my being, in my soul, that I want to know who I am and what I'm made for. Right? The ultimate question perhaps of a vocation then is, God, why did you put me on this earth? Maybe that's the only question. All the other questions lead back to that one. All the other questions that we can ask in life are the ones that lead back to the one question of Jesus, what do you want from me? What do you desire from me? Why did you place me on this earth? What can I do for you? That's all the same question. It's all how to please you, Lord, how to love you above all things. But you know what? In order to answer that question, like I said, I think that there needs to be other questions asked, bolstering that question up, giving us a new perspective that will guide us to the ultimate answer of that question so that we know that it's sound. That's why I believe in working with high school students, with college students now, and even remembering back when I was young, right? When I was discerning my own vocation and discerning between marriage and priesthood, I remember that the most helpful thing for me and the most helpful thing that I pass on to others is usually helping them to ask the right questions. Because without asking the right questions, we often don't arrive at the best answer. We can arrive at answers. We can get there. But we want to arrive at the best answer. And when it's something that's so profound as God, what do you want me to do to your life with my life? I have to be asking the best questions. So that's what we're going to set out to do today. And you know what I think the best questions are? The best questions are mission-based. They usually start with why. Why do I do something? You know, we've been told in our life a lot of times not to ask why. I think those are now my favorite questions, not in my immaturity, but maybe in my maturity, because I want to be on mission. I want to have a purpose. I want to know why to do anything. And those why questions, the mission-based questions, are the ones that set whatever I do on a firm foundation. And so we have to ask those questions. They're important questions, and they're the hardest to answer, and that's why we're here. We're here to help you. We're here to help guide you to ask the most important things. The first question that we should ask then is, why? Why, God, did you create vocations in the first place? Why do we have marriage? Why do we have religious life? Why do we have the priesthood? What are those things all about? Well, if we remember back into the New Testament and see what Jesus was doing when he was sending people out on mission and building a church, we see that there was a purpose. These were people who were spiritually mature, sent on mission. Really, if I can use my own words and not the words of the church, but based on those words that are used in the catechism and based on the words of Jesus Christ, a vocation is a mission for the spiritually mature. Those who have come to know Jesus Christ and have asked the right question, like, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? They're now sent out. They're sent out in imitation of him to pour their life out upon the church and pour it out for the church. That's what vocation is. Vocation is mission. Remember back in Matthew chapter 9. We often quote this when we're talking about priestly vocations and we're promoting priestly vocations. We quote Matthew chapter 9. It's that famous passage when Jesus says, the harvest is abundant and the laborers are few. Ask the master to send out laborers for his harvest, right? We often say that and we lament that there aren't laborers. But do you know how that passage started? We often don't talk about that. Just before Jesus says that, he says that he was out casting out demons. He was casting demons out of people. He was on mission. He was dispelling evil in the world so that people's souls could be reunited with God, the mission for which he came. That was his mission. And now he's sending out people in imitation of him. And so we're looking back at the vocation when he's talking about laborers. He's talking about people who will be on mission for his mission. That's what vocation is. Vocation is to be on mission with Jesus. It's to accept that, and it's to be the spiritually mature who say, my life is so short. My life is so short here on earth. I have an urgency to live out the mission of Jesus Christ. And that's what makes our life an adventure. That's what makes it exciting. You know, just after that, in Matthew chapter 10, we hear that Jesus gives them authority. It says that he gives them authority over unclean spirits. And what does he do immediately after that? He names the 12 apostles, right? So their relationship with him had already begun, but then he gives them a mission and then he names them, right? The mission precedes, it precedes their actual vocation. It reminds me of Father Malin. Father Malin, I don't know if you know his name, he's the one who started a movement called Divine Renovation in our church, and it's all based on discipleship. Small groups and invigorating parishes and getting people jump-started to live mission. And basically the punchline of Father Malin's movement is something that I love, something that maybe I knew but didn't consider. And that's why, again, we talk about these things. Father Malin says so clearly, he says that Jesus Christ's mission is what founded the church and not the other way around. Oftentimes we think about institutions in the world and we say, what is going to be our mission? Like we have to rediscover the mission, or we have to invent a mission. Basically, what Father Malin is saying and what we know about our church is that our church is the result of a mission. It's not something that created a mission. Jesus' mission created a church, right? The mission precedes that vocation that the apostles had to build the church of Jesus Christ and to spread it throughout the entire world. It is the vehicle through which they live out mission. And so we can say that the sacred vocations, no matter which one you're called to live, it is to live out the mission of Jesus Christ. But it starts with mission. And don't we need, I mean, do I need to do any convincing to you today to say that we need priests who live mission, who are so firmly rooted in the identity of the mission that they've been given by Jesus Christ, to live out his mission in the world, to dispel darkness in the world. and to clear obstacles so that souls can be united to Jesus Christ. Isn't that the mission? What about marriages? Doesn't our church desperately need holy marriages that are on mission for one another? That clearly perceive the mission, that clearly know what they're living for? Don't we need that? Don't we need religious in our church? Faithful religious who are so clearly on mission, who know what they're about? Isn't that inspiring when we see it? When we see an inspiring priest, when we see an inspiring religious sister or religious brother or religious priest, or we see also these inspiring families, and we say, I desire that. I want that. I want that for my future. Yeah, usually when you say that about somebody else, it's because the mission they're living. It's not about the money that they have. It's not about the house that they have. That might be the case. Those things might be attractive. But the reason we want that vocation to live that style of life, that way of life, is because the mission that they're living. You know, oftentimes when we ask the wrong question about our vocation, it seems unappealing. Perhaps all of us have asked the question and have been asked the question, you know, vocation is all about what will make you most happy. Do you want to be a priest? Do you want to be a religious sister? Or do you want to be married? Right? That's a question that's okay for the spiritually mature, but for the spiritually immature, it can be really harmful to ask that question, right? Because vocation, what we're signaling by asking that vocation is saying, vocation is all about me. It's all about what I want. Doesn't God just want what I want? I hate to break it to you, but one of the most profound and most widespread messages of all the scriptures, Old Testament and New, is that God's ways are not your ways. We have to get on board with Jesus's ways, with God's ways. And so to ask the question, what makes me most happy? It's often not going to arrive at the proper answer for my life, and it's going to be unfulfilling in the end. And let's just be honest. Ask a 17-year-old, ask me when I was 17, ask any 17-year-old in any of our high schools, if they want to live celibacy, poverty, and be obedient for the rest of their life to someone else, ask them that and see how inspired they are. So we're asking them, hey, we're going to tell you, this is what's going to make you happy. They're going to say, man, get that stuff out of my face, right? That's what our youth say. You're crazy. That's why they look at us like we're crazy. Well, it's just because we're proposing the wrong question. We're telling them the wrong thing. Only the spiritually mature can actually see how celibacy might be greater for their life than promiscuity, than sexual intimacy. Only the spiritually mature can see how the material things of the world are not fulfilling to me. Only the spiritually mature can see how obedience, though one of the most difficult things in the world, is such a gift. And it's the way that our world must work together. It's one of the answers to holiness in our world. And that's the witness that we need to give. And so when we ask those questions, we need to rather ask a different question. I think the better question is something that I've already mentioned. The better question than what makes you happy is actually saying, what do you believe God's mission is for your life? That's the question I want to ask you today. It's a better question. What is God's mission for you? Because what does that imply? It implies first and foremost that God has a mission for you. And it makes me start to think, my mind starts to wonder, whoa, like, yeah, I was created for a purpose. Yeah, there is a purpose. And that's the reason for vocation. That's the reason for my life. And vocation is the answer to that question of what is God's ultimate purpose for my life? That's the thing that got me started. That's 17-year-olds want adventure. How many 17-year-olds are walking around saying, I just want to be happy. They're not saying that. They're saying, I want adventure. They're probably saying, I want anything but celibacy, poverty, and obedience, right? They want adventure. But we have to guide that adventure to again, what will be truly fulfilling, what will serve God and His church, will fulfill that longing that they have, the true adventure of knowing who they are and how to live it out. So we have to ask the question, what is God's mission for my life? Because now I know that I was made for a purpose. And I know that finding that purpose, I find my identity, I find who I am. And now I get to live that out for the rest of my life. You know, John Paul II was so good at articulating this, and even in Vatican II. He said, you know, man only truly finds himself when he gives himself away. That's the spiritually mature. The spiritually mature are those who understand that vocation is all about this mission of laying down my life for my bride, whether it's the church or whether it's a physical spouse. It's all about laying down my life. And I'm just asking the question, maybe that's the next best question that we can ask. Lord, how do you want me to lay down my life? Again, I told you these questions aren't going to be easy. They might not be fun to answer, but they are the right questions if we want to discover our ultimate purpose in life, our ultimate mission. Those are questions that go on mission. Lord, how do you want me to pour myself out? It reminds me also of St. Augustine. Augustine, as you know, lived his life for worldly pleasures for a long time. He was spiritually immature for a long time, and he never found his purpose. He lived a life that was unfulfilling until he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He was called to the priesthood. He was made a bishop. And as a wise old man now, at one of his anniversaries of his ordination to the episcopate, to being a bishop, he actually said in his homily, you can find this homily online, he actually said in this homily, he says, "For you, I'm a bishop. But for myself, I'm a Christian." Basically articulating so simply in one single line, basically what he was saying is that I live my life as a Christian, and I became a Christian for my salvation. That's what I was made for. I was made for salvation, for a relationship with Jesus. I came to know that. That's why I'm a Christian today. But for you and your salvation, I became a bishop. For my vocation, right? So all of us, every single one of us, our first vocation is to holiness, as the church teaches us. That's why we're Christians, for our own salvation. But the spiritually mature are those who look outside of themselves and say, how can I pour myself out for the church? Because that's when I truly find myself. That's when I find who I was made to be, what I was why God created me. He says, so for you, I'm a bishop. For you, I'm a priest. For you, I have given myself to this vocation. That is the mission. And so that's the way that we pour ourselves out for that. So we have to remember, it's all about asking the right questions. Maybe we can ask some final questions about vocation. Why did God create marriage in the first place? Oh, let's remember back in the Genesis narrative. Go to the first page of your Bible, day 6. It says that God created marriage. He created Adam. And he said this, and this always gets me. He created for Adam a helpmate. Strange language, isn't it? It doesn't say that he created for Adam a lover that will fulfill him so that he could be happy. He didn't say he created for Adam perfect happiness with a woman. No, it says helpmate. And I have to ask the question, helpmate for what? Helpmate for my purpose in life. Helpmate for my mission. Together, they were supposed to live in unity, in image and likeness of God, in a relationship of love, right? True marriage, if we talk about the marriage vocation, is about leading each other to heaven. That is the mission of marriage. It's a unique mission because it's about a unique relationship, a relationship that's like no other relationship in our life, right? So marriage is all about pouring myself out to one person in a unique way, and in a way that I don't do that for anybody else in the entire world. I give myself to this mission, to this woman or to this man, and to their children, right? To our children together, to make them disciples. That's why the church calls it the domestic church. The mission of the domestic church is holiness in heaven. That's the reason for marriage, because we're better off together than we are alone. What's the purpose for priesthood? Well, we see Jesus telling his apostles many things. And when he's instituting the priesthood, when he's giving, passing on the priesthood and about to leave the earth, he says, you will forgive sins. When he raises the Eucharist, he says, you will do this in memory of me. He sends them out again to heal, to cast out evil in the world, to heal, to lay your hands on others and heal the sick. He tells them they will do all those things. Before he leaves, the last thing that he says is he says, go out and make disciples, baptize them, bring them into one. Y'all, Priesthood is all about being the instrument of Jesus Christ in a unique way, not living for one single person, like in marriage, not a unique relationship with one person, but an indifferent love, in the virtuous indifference, right, the holy indifference, an indifferent love for every single person in the world, drawing them into Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. Am I called then? A good question that we could ask. And we could ask is, am I called? Is my heart made to love this unique person for a unique purpose that is different than every other relationship in my life? Or, after spending time in prayer, do I perceive that God is calling me, whether in religious life or in priesthood, women religious, men religious, and priesthood of the faithful, ministerial priesthood, is God calling me then to love in a way that's like him, an imitation of him, so literally like him, that has an indifferent love for all people so I can be on mission, not just for a single household, a single purpose in a unique way, but a way that's not unique, a way that has love for every single person in the world for the salvation of their souls? That's a good question to ask. How is my heart made to love on mission? I have a good friend named Sister Bernadette of the Franciscan Sisters of the Martyr of St. George. And when she told me her vocation story when we first met, it's always stuck with me because she asks one of the best questions that I know. She went on retreat and she was holding in her hands both vocations to marriage and to religious life. And she went on this retreat and she perceived so profoundly, right? And knew the vocation of her heart was to love. Just like St. Therese says, my vocation is to love. I'm sent on mission to this earth. The reason I come here is to love. And so she's sent out to love. She asked the question, the simple question, the one question. God, how have you made my heart to love? Show me how I will love you the most in this world, knowing that my time is short, knowing that I can only live once. In what way have you made me to love the most? What way will I glorify you the most? What way will my heart expound and expand its love for this world? How can I do that? Well, he revealed to her in a simple week, she was convinced by spending time with him, by asking that one question, the one question of how can I please you, Lord? How can I serve you, Lord? How can this heart love you the most? She was convinced that she was called to religious life. She's a good and faithful and an inspiring witness of a religious sister who's living on mission. Remember that as you ask all of these questions about vocation, to ask mission questions, the why questions, the best questions, so that we can arrive at the right answer. If we arrive at the right answer, we're gonna have people like you, priests, religious sisters, religious brothers, marriages who are living on mission.
When a business is looking to expand, they say it's all about location, location, location. But what about when the church needs to expand? To stretch out and reach those fallen away, estranged from the faith, or those who simply have never heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then it's all about vocation, vocation, vocation. We need more people dedicated to the mission of serving the church, more priests, more deacons, more men and women of vowed service, and more lay workers willing to go into the fields. The harvest is rich, but the workers are few. Is God calling you to service? Pray on it, and while you're there, pray for more vocations. A simple request from your friends at Catholic Radio Indy. For those discerning a vocation in service to the church and to others, a great stumbling block is often the ability to put our full faith and trust in the providence of God. So today, we'll share the Litany of Trust, led by Sister Veritas and Sister Faustina of the Sisters of Life.
Hi, I'm Sister Veritas.
And I'm Sister Faustina, and we're with the Sisters of Life. Today we're going to pray together the Litany of Trust. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. From the belief that I have to earn your love,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear that I am unlovable,
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the false security that I have what it takes.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear that trusting you will leave me more destitute.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From all suspicion of your words and promises.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the rebellion against childlike dependency on you.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From refusals and reluctances in accepting your will.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From anxiety about the future.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From resentment or excessive preoccupation with the past.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From restless self-seeking in the present moment.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From disbelief in your love and your presence.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being asked to give more than I have.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the belief that my life has no meaning or worth.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From fear of what love demands.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From discouragement.
Deliver me, Jesus.
That you are continually holding me, sustaining me, loving me.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That your love goes deeper than my sins and failings and transforms me.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That not knowing what tomorrow brings is an invitation to lean on you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That you are with me in my suffering.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That my suffering, united to your own, will bear fruit in this life and the next.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That you will not leave me orphan, that you are present in your church.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That your plan is better than anything else.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That you always hear me and in your goodness always respond to me.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That you give me the grace to accept forgiveness and to forgive others.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That you will give me all the strength I need for what is asked.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That my life is a gift.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That you will teach me to trust you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That you are my Lord and my God.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That I am your beloved one.
Jesus, I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That's all the time we have for this week, Sons of Melchizedek. Please pray for an increase in vocations to the religious life. And until next time, may God bless.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.